Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Give us a feel of, you know, what it was like this year. Of course, 2020, it was canceled. What was the feel there this year? Was it the same as usual? Was it different? Give us your experience.
It was definitely different in a good way. I think people felt genuinely happy to be there, to see the faces and contacts they had over the years. There was a lot of hugging. People really came across as quite thankful and warm and much kinder than they used to be.
And as far as, was there any underlying theme of the Monaco Yacht Show this year? Was there something that they were championing this year?
I've noticed two things. The first day from the Monaco Yacht Show organizers was dedicated to press anyways, but also to brokers and clients. So it was a calm appearing first day. Different opinions you heard from other exhibitors that they may not liked it so much since they lost the day, but not all the docks were blocked for owners or brokers. Certain areas were still open and accessible for people who would like to speak to vendors or outfitters or other services. So for me, who doesn't have a stand, it makes good sense to revamp and revisit the idea of making it different so that your target audience, the target audience hits the real targets and they could get the business better and smoothly on the table than having everyone mix at all times with it. But to me, it's obviously easy to say since I don't have a stand. The other thing that I've noticed, everyone was riding the topic of sustainability hard. But only in the segment when it comes to the environment, not when it comes to other pillars of sustainability, which also is part of, let's say, the luxury asset, the vessel, the equipment and all of it, but also the human factor, not just the ocean.
Now, there are big ticket items that are out there right now that are very sort of hashtagged to death. And, you know, we've got things like sustainability, diversity, inclusion, equality, and every single yachting industry out there is hashtagging the crap out of it. We know that. Now, are they actually implementing those practices and those policies within their own organization? Some yes, some sort of, and some definitely not. What is your feel?
When I looked at the stands, I saw the same faces. There was a boutique yacht management company, and through the last 2 years, I've noticed that they're hiring women, different nationalities, and really based on skills. And they themselves are vocal on the subject of equality. Them, I could see practicing what they're preaching when it comes to yard or management or recruitment stands. It all looked the same. I do believe that I still saw a company running the same method of having models floating through the show with handing out flyers. I don't quite see the purpose or concept there. When I saw the Monaco Yacht Show organizers at the summit that was organized the day before, just from the energy that comes from the leading women of the department, there I thought that they don't need to be taught anything on diversity because them themselves are, I think, Italian and French women. I saw a couple of men, and when I see also the hotel staff that they organized, there's also a lot of diversity that should be seen there. So yeah. Basically, when I see the Monaco Yacht Show organizers, you see diversity and inclusion there. When I saw one boutique management company, you saw it there. With everyone else, I didn't really see it reflecting physically.
One of the complaints that I have heard in the past, especially from female crew, is that the Monaco Yacht Show, out of most of the yacht shows, was probably the sexist yacht show. The one show that you definitely saw women dressed up in, you know, things that you might see in a 1960s or a 1950s sort of skin magazine, and being treated as objects. Was there a change this year?
Honestly, the way people behave towards me was definitely different. So, yeah, to me it felt better. But since I've been quite vocal on it, I think people think twice before they invite you in a rude way to a beer. I didn't see as many lightly or sexy dressed hostesses as there used to be. And I also didn't see many female guests or other people entering the show in a less tasteful or too sexy daytime attire. So in the evenings, though, I did skip Buddha Bar, so I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, the evenings. I mean, it's straight across the face of the board. The evenings are evenings, mm-hmm. no matter where you go. Do you think maybe yachting is getting the message? Do you think that the yachting industry as a whole and those major players within the industry are getting the message that women, and you know, perhaps because we are seeing women like Rose Damon and many others that are leading in the industry and are looked up to in the industry, do you think that has something to do with it?
I think so, big time, because I spoke with Rose Damon during the Monaco Yacht Summit, and she and her team organized an event, Women in Yachting, on Friday, and it was exclusively for women, which I was so in awe of it. I just really liked that idea, and that it also been executed like this, that's amazing. And I believe that we haven't heard far enough yet, or we haven't gone far enough yet, but we're definitely on our way there. And that the ones who still take that side way, that exit towards, you know, navigating around that topic by focusing on mental health or focusing on environmental issues only, they soon will realize that whatever road they take, it will lead back to the main road, which means the human factor, which what I thought was a bit shocking, and I don't agree with the concept at all, regardless that I'm not a captain. There was one yard that presented a very avant-garde idea of giving the owner the full space of the yacht, having the foredeck as a flush teak deck with a pool to have a beautiful private area, which obviously everyone thinks, what private area are you talking about when you have it at the bow with a bridge on your neck? Well, it turns out they have that idea of putting the bridge down in a few decks down and call it the command center, which obviously I think, why would you have your captain and navigational team in the basement? Because when I think of a plane, the pilot's at the helm, and that's where I like the pilot to be. And I expect him to look at the windows just as much as I hope and know from experience, from observing deck personnel and captains, how they act and interact on board at the bridge. So I'm not sure if we should cause more problems when we still haven't solved our issues with the current status of how yachts are built, which are affecting humans and human lives by not building it safe enough, by giving too much leeway, by not giving enough space to crew or tools for them to do the job. Scientists have showed so many times that if you are if you're in artificial daylight, artificial air, that your head just gets foggy and you miss a step and you miss a second step, and it won't take far down the road for someone to break their back or worse. And I don't think that navigational, which officers who are directly responsible for the safety of the guest, the fellow crew, and the safety of the vessel, which is also expensive because money, I think everyone understands, if they may not feel empathy towards the topics we've raised, money they understand. And that's going to be very expensive, from repairs to legal cases to doctors' cases. So all in all, I don't think that a bridge below deck is the solution of the issues that we're facing in 2020.
Do you think the yachting industry is going to take decades to catch up with the rest of the world in terms of the human element? Or do you think that we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and these things could change a lot quicker and perhaps, you know, just a couple of years?
I think so. I'd like to have that positive outlook as well without falling into the Walt Disney trap. I do believe that after the show and after many more interviews that have been held by you, and you really are a trailblazer in that, I've seen many more shows coming out and not just touching the subjects of being a yachting enthusiast and taking pretty pictures of pretty boats, but more and more they give more value and more nutritional value to people. And it is, you cannot disconnect your mind from the heart. It should be in balance, because what you have happening here is probably what you're acting out of here is what becomes your actual action. So it all belongs together. And hopefully look back and think, oh, remember the times when we had to say, could we have more diversity? Could we have different kind of passport or people with different ethnical heritages in this company, that it will be just common. It will be just the standard. It will be just the standard that when you look left and right, you be sitting amongst women who are different to you. Because if you haven't seen and learned it yourself from your own experience, from the person who raised you to the people who trained you, you will for sure have a look at the McKinsey studies, which show that, again, money talks. You lose about 20%. This is hard cash they're losing by not having a diverse team.
Yeah.
So with COVID and however long this will continue rolling out, we need to all generate money. And if we can do this in a sustainable way and in an inclusive way, why not do it? And you even make more on it.
Do you think this change is because we are actually changing minds as a whole? Or do you think it's because those that don't want the industry to change are aging out and being pushed aside by a younger mentality and a younger generation?
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't care for their motivation as long as the result is good, because at some point, even the most stubborn mind will realize it's either dinosaur time or it's the future time. And it doesn't bode well anymore with the society as a whole to have unfortunate and bad contracts, bad payment, and no tools to do the job. People need to be paid what they're worth and need to be given the opportunity to do their job right. And it looks just much better. Imagine an owner having a really diverse team, and he can be proud of what they're representing, and he doesn't have to hide it. I mean, every asset that he has, it also includes people, and they have to look the part, act the part, and know the parts that they're doing. It's the same as in, let's say, for a long time, wearing fur was one of the ultimate signals to show how wealthy and well-situated you are. Now they turned it around, they gave it a new look. The whole marketing campaigns have changed, even from the bare scientific, artificial diamonds and so on, to make it salon safe, salon proof. So now to walk around with a faux fur is actually something people and fans or whoever it is look up to them for doing it.
So I guess it's just a matter of the fact that we just need to change, and we need to have a different view and a different outlook. And that's really sort of the goal, I think, going forward. And when you take a look at the ultra high net worth individual coming up right now, they already have that mindset. Their mindset is the mindset of an advanced generation, of an advanced human species. And I'm sorry, but I think there is a huge group of people within the yachting industry that has gone the way of the Neanderthals or the dinosaurs, and they're kind of stuck maybe in the 50s or 60s. And it's time either they walk away or they wake up.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the new money that has been made in tech or other areas that profited from COVID without costing other individuals or industries too much, but tech billionaires have that mindset already. They don't see it in any other way, the world. The older generations, they follow, some of them follow suit very quickly because they've always seen trends all their life and they know which ones are working for them. And there might be just a handful of a stubborn club that they, as soon as it comes to money, they will understand because that's the type of language they speak fluently. And sometimes it just needs more steady water to flatten a stone in a stream.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, and this is one thing that has always baffled me, is money's green. Not always. I mean, I'm Canadian, so money is very multicolored. But as far as this analogy, money is green. It doesn't matter whether it's not male or female. It's not, it doesn't have a definition. It is just money. It doesn't have a color. It is exactly the same straight across the face of the planet. And we need to go, if yachting is going to have an industry in 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, which I assume the yachting industry wants their industry to remain sustainable. They have to start looking at where those trends are going. And the marketing, I mean, it even goes to the marketing. They are not showing diversity. They are not showing equality. They are not showing inclusion in even their marketing. You're starting to see it, but the excuses of there is no images to use. Well, I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, most of these yachting companies, they have their own photo shoots. You've got the choice of who you hire for this photo shoot. So don't be telling me nothing about the fact that, well, we don't have the images of people that are diverse in any way whatsoever. That's frankly bullshit.
Also, it's not okay to fake the images by getting a bunch of British, African or African-American actors in to put on an engineering boarding suit or a stewardess outfit. That's not the point to just fake it like this. I did notice that some of the images in marketing have changed, that you may have a black couple enjoying a yacht, but these are not as many images as there are other kinds out there.
Yeah,
they're also not hiring in that from that perspective. So it starts. And some are now navigating towards, okay, let's make a change by giving scholarships, so on and so forth, which is a beautiful idea. But if you really want to make a change, don't change it from the blue collar, from the bottom and lower and mid ranks, change it from the white collars. So as long as your people left and right from you look exactly like you, you are not living diversity and you haven't understood a thing. It would be lovely for everyone to understand it and to pick up a bit faster. But some need sugar, some need a whip, some need a little bit of time. But I don't think it will take decades. We don't have decades. I don't want to wait decades. I'm just around for, I don't know, just 14 years in this industry. You know, it's not as many as you have or other people in the industry. But I don't think that you guys have the patience to. And there's also no need for it because the tools are already there to implement it. You could do it tomorrow. It could be done by next year this time. From Lewiston to Burgess, the offices and the yachts that they manage could look different.
Better. Exactly, exactly. No, I'm with you 100%. You know, I take a look at, you know, the fight for equality for women and just talking women. This fight was going on for 50, 60, 70 years before I was born. And I'm not even going to tell you when I was born. Well, 50 years ago, almost. So that fight has been over a century. Now, no, I'm not willing to sit back and wait a decade to be equal to anybody of my age that is a white male. No, it's my knowledge is equal. my capabilities are equal. The things that I do are equal, and it goes with every woman on the face of the planet. We are equal in every way. We should be paid equally. We should be promoted equally. And it's time for it to end. And you know, fighting the fight. And then you start going into, like you said, diversity, you know, inclusive. There's so many other things that we are fighting for, but we can't even get just women, you know, at the very utmost, we can't even get women to be treated equally. And I think it's time that changed. And I think we are seeing a change, and I'm happy to see that. But I guess sometimes a lot of us get a little bit impatient when we're a little bit older.
It's just fair enough. Why yeah. not? Maybe sometimes that impatient moment will trigger a reaction that people have been waiting around for too long.
Yeah.
And well, maybe at some point, you know, there's certain lawyers in this industry who have their heart in the right place, and they burn for equality. Now, how fast you think a lawyer who's well known in the industry or who's well versed in those subjects, how fast he could make changes when it comes to legislation?
Yeah.
So maybe the groundworks can also be done there. Or maybe it doesn't have to be by force, that we don't have to go down the legal road so fast. Maybe they do it voluntarily. Isn't it much better to adapt when you want to instead of when you have to?
Yeah. The reception is much better that way. You know, I think the times are different now for the simple fact that, you know, in my generation, when I was a kid growing up, we were taught that women only had one place. And of course, being me, I was very stubborn and bullheaded and always figured that they were all wrong. But I would say about 99% of my cohorts didn't feel that way because we were taught a certain way, and you just went with the flow, as it were. I never went with the flow. So I was always fighting the status quo. But we now have a generation such as yourself and many others like you that are standing strong and saying, you know what, this is what we deserve, this is what we expect, and this is what we're going to get. And there's a strength in numbers, I believe. And I think the more voices that come together, the more impact that there is.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that there's a lot more white male supporters out there than I realized. And I'm hugely thankful to certain captains and influencers in this industry who, on a personal level, support me by listening or giving good advice, but also do not shy away to publicly also support you and agree with you when you may have voiced an unpopular opinion, which in my or your case is not a may have, it's dead on certainty that we do.
I think you and I both sometimes, we struggle with the same thing sometimes. I think, you know, we do tend to have an unpopular opinion. And yeah, it is nice when the, you know, the establishment, as it were, does come out in support of that opinion. It does mean a lot. Yeah.
Which also, on the second step further down this discussion, means that that they need to make space and clear a seat for those voices to be heard and not take over. So in my case, I can speak for my kind, which means I'm Greek Pakistani German, a Greek Pakistani German woman. I cannot speak for the LGBTQIA+ community. I cannot speak for anyone darker than me. I can speak for the, you know, the Middle Eastern, these type from where I culturally also come from. But everyone else who I cannot, when I don't fit the bill, someone else needs to, and not me speaking for this person or that group.
Or exactly.
For that matter.
I think that's important, actually. That is a statement that is really, really important to me. I think that we all need to speak for what we know. That was one of the biggest issues that I had on Yachting International Radio, was with my diversity show. I wanted to have it from the day that YR was born. But of course, what would I know about walking into a room and being judged by the color of my skin? You know, I was judged by my hair. Everybody thought I was going to be a holy terror, which I am. But other than that, I wouldn't know. So divert. It took me a year and a half to find somebody that was okay with raising the topic, because there is still such a fear in the industry about talking about racism. And that's, you know,
I
even
would be a stewardess. I would be also scared to run that show. I would be scared for the reputation you get, for the difficulties that people would put in your way. Because let's face it, that's exactly what's going to happen. But I'm so pleased every time you have that show coming up and new guests and hosts and then really fighting towards it. That's just wonderful to see. But I see why it's so risky and so hard to find someone to speak up.
It is. It is. And that's such a shame, because, you know, it's 10 years behind the rest of the world. You know, it's 10 years. That conversation that we're finally having in yachting is 10 years after the rest of the world has started having that conversation. And it's needed. But it's a shame, because we do have issues finding guests. You know, Gabriella is amazing at what she does, but she has issues finding guests because they're afraid to speak up. They're afraid to be on camera. Now, that is changing slowly. And some of her guests have actually found great jobs as a result of being on the show, which for me is, you know, is absolutely amazing. And I hope that that is something that YR provides for many people, is that, you know, you speak your reality, you speak your truth. And as a result of people getting to know you through my platforms, or our platforms, as it were, because we are sort of a cooperate, but, you know, people will give you that chance that you so deserve. And that's exciting to see.
I love that. I love that fact, because I've heard that before as well, that from captain friends and chief stewardesses, that they particularly hire people who are outspoken and have an opinion on these subjects, because that are subjects close to their heart, and they are all British or North European nationalities, the senior crew that I've just mentioned. But they particularly look for these type of teammates, because they know they always go the extra mile and that they deserve a leg up, because they've been held back as cultures 300 years. So why not? It's not, if I'm going to be naughty, then let's say I don't even just want equality. I also want reparations for the years, and you have 300 years ahead and I'm supposed to keep up with the race now. No, you owe me reparations, and you owe me a position further ahead. And you owe me the education towards it that you have denied my generation before me to actually get to the point, because the excuse of I cannot find women suitable for this position is not good enough, which means you haven't done your job, because you have failed to train to educate and train the generations beforehand to actually have a pool of women and different nationalities to select from, because you poured it all into your other white males.
Yeah.
I just don't know where they're trying to go with this type of policy, because when you look at China with the one-child policy that led to abortions of girl babies, which then led to only or mainly being men in China, which then led to the reverse, that the market, the wedding market or the marriage market has changed, that now women choose very closely and select, judging men like they are cattle, their size, their annual income.
I'm going to move to China, I think.
It's time.
I'm kidding. But no, it's true. I mean, that's exactly, you know, the situation. You know, we could go over it and over it in many ways, and many, many different examples. Human nature is just the craziest thing. And the way people think and the way people justify decisions, it baffles you.
It's probably to hide their actual motivation behind it. And to me, that's, I think it's wanting others to do well, but not as well as I'm doing. So not wanting to share. Which brings me back to that one child policy. Maybe they didn't have enough siblings to share, to learn sharing. But now they learn it. So never too late.
I'm going to tell everybody to have one child, just for the simple fact that I know how much each child costs. So,
yeah. because I only got hand-me-downs, you know. I didn't think it cost that much as a middle child.
Right? But I tell you, every child costs you at least $1 million before they're out the door. So if you're going to have more than one, you best be rethinking that just on a normal human basis. I've got three, so I'm never going to have a life.
You're a millionaire.
No, that's the thing. Every time you have a little extra money, it goes out the door because one of the kids takes the money. Margarita, I've got to say, it's been an absolute pleasure as per usual with you. And it always is very thought provoking and very appreciated.
Thanks. Thank you very much. I'm always humbled and excited when I get invited for an interview. And yeah, I look forward to the feedback. Maybe we offended some. Maybe we invited some.
Well, you know what? Every time we chat, I'm sure we offend a few. And we have a few that are cheering us on the background as well. So, you know what? I can take 50-50.
I'll take more. Let's take more.
Well, we can only hope. I would love to have you back again in, say, 6 months or so from now. And see if we have seen any more change in the yachting industry.
Yeah, let's see what the Mets bring. The Mets are coming up in Amsterdam.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, I was supposed to be going to live stream for the entire event, but I can't go now because it's the middle of November when the borders open up. And of course, that's a couple weeks too late for FLIBS.
Shame.
I know.
Yeah, but maybe the Mets might be a good opportunity to do another roundup, see how the industry has developed and stuff, because it's a very different show to the other boat shows, but very
well. We'll have you back then. Are you going to Mets?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. We'll have you back because I'm not going to Mets. So we'll have you back and you can give us a nice little roundup on what's gone on with Mets and how that show looks like this year. Thank you, Margarita. Again, I really appreciate your time. We'll provide your information below this interview when it airs in case you want to get in touch with Margarita. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.